Hey there, this is Brie Bagwell from OnlyFans with your Breecap, and comedian Steve Trevino is one of the most generous, kind, and brilliant human beings. I know he's hilarious, and we have spent tiny pockets of time together in passing before this interview, but this man is a legit all-around family man, entrepreneur, road warrior, and not to mention an extreme giver of his time. As you'll find out, he was going to Canada to do a big show the next morning after this interview, and he still agreed to do it somehow and invited Kyle and I to use his podcast room at his house in the Hill Country because my RV was in the shop. Steve and I get into what we have in common, like being on the road, being with a partner who's also an entertainer, and the parallels of the music biz and the comedy biz. I love his insider insight into Nashville versus Texas, and we talk about Steve being an integral part in opening Green Recording Studio 7 minutes from my house. His hustle is unmatched, and it's so beautiful how much he loves and supports Texas music. Wait till you hear his Pat Green story, and the Randy we mention a lot is, in fact, Randy Rogers. Steve takes a phone call with his wife, Renee, mid-podcast, which ends up being our first comedic bit together about it potentially being about how Steve has cancer. Anyway, Renee is on Instagram at I am Renee with an A. She is equally as talented and brilliant, and Steve would probably argue she is more of those things than him. But give him and her a follow, and if you have not seen him live, he's going everywhere, and his tour sells out quick. SteveTrevino.com is the website, and if you haven't yet, what are you doing? Check out his comedy specials for down-to-earth, real-life, feel-good, truly memorable comedy. Thanks so much, Steve. Enjoy. Hey there, this is Brie Bagwell with OnlyFans, and we all know that vinyls are back, baby. Well, they have been for a long time, actually, and my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing have got you covered. They just finished up a reprint of my vinyls, and they really walk you through the entire process. I picked out a different vinyl color for this run, and they're red and black. Oh my gosh. They offer so many color options, and you can also put in inserts in the vinyl jackets or download cards. They can make your customized vinyl dreams come true. They pay for themselves so quickly, it's insane, and their turnaround time is quite impressive, if I do say so myself. Also, they were at my show the other day, like we're friends in real life. How cool is that? They're a Texas-based independent plant helping artists help themselves. Get your vinyl manufactured in the USA by my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing. You won't regret it. Tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you. Go to handdrawnpressing.com for all the info and check out their awesome content on Instagram. Their handle is at Hand Drawn Records. Hey, OnlyFans listeners, this is Brie Bagwell, and I want to invite y'all to join me August 14th through 17th in Red River, New Mexico, my home state, for 8750 Festival 2025. This boutique festival features 3 nights and 3 days of outstanding musical performances across 4 venues, alongside a barbecue cook-off, a CASI red chili cook-off, a state championship green chili cook-off. This is after my heart, y'all. This year's lineup is stacked, and there are no overlapping shows, so you don't have to miss one single note. 3-day passes are on sale now, and they are expected to sell out. The 3-day pass gets you into every show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it includes 2 full meals and a discounted lift ticket to get you up to Music on the Mountain on Sunday. You can get tickets to sign up to compete in a cook-off and learn more over at their website, 8750festival.com, 8750festival.com. You can use coupon code OnlyFans, that's all caps and no space at checkout, to save $10 off of your 3-day passes. Once again, go to 8750festival.com, get your tickets, and join me for an incredible weekend.
And I was thinking like about the Corpus area, and I chose this hat because this guy said, "You look like where'd you get that hat from? Corpus?" And I can't remember. He was from Dallas. Like,
probably.
And A.B. Quintanilla gave me this hat. And, you know, Selena's my queen, man.
Of course.
I was like, actually, kind of.
Have you met Suzette?
No.
I got to put you guys in touch. I'll put you guys in touch. She's...
I'm going to pass out on this podcast.
Well, I always freak out when I talk to her because her voice is exactly like Selena's.
Really?
And she's just a beautiful woman. Yeah. You got
to
meet her.
I would love to meet her.
And are you going to put Sunny Salcedo in this border song?
Oh, I should have.
Put a little accordion?
Dang.
Oh, you already recorded it.
I already recorded it. Recordioned it. I almost said.
Recorded it?
But is that his... Does he use that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to give it to him. Yeah.
Well, Sunny and I have plans to do stuff together.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, OnlyFans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Oh! it is kind of interesting to talk about because sometimes people tell me that I'm too nice and that's to my detriment. But I think a lot of things have happened in, isn't that a compliment of myself? Like, I am so nice. I think it's important to be nice, but it's also, it does make it hard sometimes in business. It's like, ugh.
Oh, 100% in this business. 100%. Yeah. It is definitely a negative trait in this business.
Yeah.
Like being cold-hearted and fucking gangster.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit there, you look at these people, you're like, that person, really?
I know. That's how it is in music. And you're like,
you get to a green room and they're like, oh, so-and-so was here last week and they broke shit and got lost their temper and made a waitress cry. And you're like, but you're booking them again.
No, they love them. And you're paying them double.
More than me.
Right. That's my life all the time. Yeah. Or girls that, you know, some of the girls that renew that act, you know, like, and I'm so humble, whatever. And then you think that's how my dad raised me or whatever. And it's like, oh no, they get more respect for acting like a diva than I do for humble.
It's crazy. I'm the same way.
Wow. That's so interesting. Cause I was thinking about what I was going to talk to you today about. And just a lot of the parallels with like comedy and music.
I was actually gonna talk to you about that.
This is my podcast. This is your podcasting room, though. We took over your house.
I know. It's gonna be like, some people are gonna be like, did Steve get a new wife? Yeah. Why, Steve Captain Evil podcast.
Captain Breevil.
Breevil.
Which we have so much to talk about.
Yes.
But yes, thank you for letting us in your house. My RV is in the shop. And so it didn't occur to me until today. That's where we usually film my podcast.
Your RV?
Is in my RV because it's called Only Vans. And then I got an RV. I moved up from my Sprinter van. And then today I texted Kyle, producer Kyle. I'm like, oh my gosh, Kyle, we don't even have the RV. So here we are. It was my way to find out where you live. Sneakily.
No, it's perfect. I'm too nice, right? Like I just trust people. My wife
shouldn't trust Kyle.
But my wife's always like, you know, you're too inviting and you're too open. And I'm like, look, man, at the end of the day, if somebody wants to take something from me, that's on them. Let them take it. Yeah, steal it. Steal my new Braunfels Police Department award.
Yeah, that's so nice. And your assistant, he was awesome. But wait, are you going to Canada tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning.
You are too nice. Because I was doing a little bit of research today. I know a lot about you. I've been a fan for a long time. But I was on your website and I'm like, well, Ontario? Or you're going to
Ottawa.
Canada? Ottawa. Tomorrow. Yeah. Are you leaving tomorrow?
Leaving tomorrow morning. We should, Renee and I'm bringing the wife.
Okay.
Yes. She's going to be my road manager. Which is nice because I can sleep with this road manager. I hope. God willing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've learned to live my life to the fullest all the time because, you know, like, for example, you know, like, let's say my cousins are rolling through town today and they're like, hey, Steve, I want to have drinks. Can I come by your house? I will, even though I have to be up in the morning because I don't want to miss out on this life. I almost have two different lives.
Yeah, I feel that.
I think you do too, right? And this life is the circus. And this life, I'm not a different person, but I'm a different person. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, taking pictures and, you know, the merch and the, you know, oh my God, I can't believe I met you. And this life is very down to earth and very normal. And
telling your kid to drink water. We heard that. That was awesome. Yeah. Dad mode. I was like, good for you. That's amazing. Well, I was looking at the schedule and your tour schedule is like as intense or more intense than a musician's, like probably more because I was like, man, he's going to a bunch of different states. I kept scrolling and then it's like Sweden, Denmark, Germany, and all the way to like October. So that's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, it's how we make our money. Yeah. Right. And I had a cousin of mine, you know, I've been very blessed. Right. And my home is gorgeous and, you know, can't wait for you to see it all. I'm going to take you to the back.
Thanks.
There.
Okay.
But he goes, dude, how much money do you need? And I said, well, that's a good question. I said, but if I told you that you had to leave Friday and Saturday and you made this much money, would you say no? I go, all you got to do is tell jokes. All you got to do is talk.
Right.
And he was like, how much do you make?
Yeah.
And I go, this is how much I make. I go, and when you grow up with a pipe fitter, welder dad, and a nurse's assistant mom, you go, what I make in a weekend, they made in 2 years. So can I really look at my hardworking dad and say, yeah, dad, I'm not going to leave the house for 2 days because I don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. Not to mention the money I make affects my entire family. And when I say my entire family, extended family, my sisters, my parents, my, you know, bought my dad a house. My nieces, I help them with college. If they have a fundraiser, they know they can count on me.
Am I in your family?
but it's all those beautiful things that comes with it. And my favorite part of the weekend is when I get to be on stage and they pay me for it.
Right.
So it's really hard to say no.
I say that too, that the 90 minutes that I'm performing is the easiest thing that I do. And it's all the other, that's the traveling, it's the, you know, but.
Well, they pay you to travel.
They do.
They don't pay you to be on stage.
That's right.
We did this stuff for free. Let's just be clear. We did it for free and we were happier. At least I was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you did it smarter than I did because I have a whole band to pay. Like your overhead is what road manager. Who do you travel with? Like, what is your travel?
It's me, another comedian, and a road manager.
Always.
That's it. Yep.
That's incredible. And your wife does, I'm sure she does a great job. She's incredible.
We try to bring the, you know, again, trying to balance family life and trying to be the best dad I can be and best husband I can be. You know, we do travel together and I'm at a point where, you know, for spring break, for example, my wife's like, I want to go to Florida this year. So she calls my manager and agent and says, we want to be in Florida. And I sell enough tickets and I'm, you know, I always get first, what is it called? First reserve, right? So I get to pick where I want to be. And my wife goes, we want to be in Florida. Book Steve on this weekend in Palm Beach and book Steve at the next weekend in Miami. So we'll all get to go together to Palm Beach. Then we'll spend the next 4 days in Marco Island, spring breaking it up.
Yeah.
And then I'll go perform in Miami and it all gets paid for.
That's so smart.
You know, so it, again, another blessing of, you know, most people go, man, my kids have spring break. Can I afford to go to Florida?
Right.
You know, and stay in a beautiful Marriott in Marco Island. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I make it work. I make family life work because, you know, I'm madly in love with my wife and I'm unbelievably thrilled to be a dad. Like, I love it.
I can tell you love being a dad. That's very fun.
I love it.
Paul and I are working on that. We have one weekend off, one whole week off in August where his band is off and my band is off. And so we're trying to do, you know, where can we go and what can we get one big show to pay for it or whatever. And that's a very, and the most fun that I have in my life, I mean, I love my band. They're going to watch this. Don't get me wrong. But the most fun I have in my life is performing with my person. There,
of course.
Getting to
It, especially when you like your person.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. I have friends that are like, dude, I need to go on the road with you. I got to get away from this woman. And I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Right? I'm like, I don't want to get away from my wife. I don't want to get away from my kids. Mm-hmm. I want my kids with me. I want my wife with me. I don't understand that. Like, I don't know. I mean, but it's also interesting that you ended up with a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because, you know, my wife and I think we work because she is an actor and a performer and she understands the life.
Right.
When she was in high school, she spent every single weekend doing drama tournaments. So me traveling seems very normal to her.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, well, you go on the weekend and do your thing. Right. So, but there's also something to be said about there's an understand. Well, not only she's also from my hometown.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when I lived in LA, I'm dating these girls. We have zero in common.
Like the culture is just completely different.
We don't understand each other. I remember dating this one girl, and I'm not going to name her name because she's a celebrity, but
Stacy.
We went to go see Varsity Blues. And I go, that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
And she was like, no. She goes, you're exaggerating. I go, I'm not.
Yeah.
Gregory Portland, Texas.
Yeah.
Was like that.
Yeah.
And it literally blew her mind. She goes, people don't live like this. I go, we did.
Yeah.
This is not made up. This is, I mean, I didn't steal a cop car and get naked, but.
Not yet.
You know.
That's so interesting. I know I'm from Las Cruces, but I'm about to release a song about being from the border and how much I love just the mix of cultures. And I always joke that I thought I was Mexican until I was 13, but I'm like, I'm just a white girl. Are you sure?
You're all wet. You're all wet.
I know. I'm home for a while. I started like talking like this a little bit. And people are like, hey, you're white.
Don't Not even.
Like, come on, whatever.
Hey, like you want to go, hey Bree, you want to go to prom or something? Like, you know,
get back to me later.
Hey, like my mom said, I should ask you. And you know,
Exactly. And I love it. And I was thinking like about the Corpus area and I chose this hat because this guy said, you look like you got, where'd you get that hat from? Corpus. And I can't remember. He was from Dallas. Like,
probably.
And A.B. Quintanilla gave me this hat. And, you know, Selena's my queen,
Of course.
I was like, actually, kind of.
Have you met Suzette?
No.
I got to put you guys in touch. I'll put you guys in touch. She's...
I'm going to pass out on this podcast.
Well, I always freak out when I talk to her because her voice is exactly like Selena's.
Really?
And she's just a beautiful woman. Yeah. You got
to
meet her.
I would love to meet her.
And are you going to put Sunny Salcedo in this border song?
Oh, I should have.
Put a little accordion?
Dang.
Oh, you already recorded it.
I already recorded it. Recordioned it. I almost said.
Recorded it?
Is that his... Does he use that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to give it to him. Yeah.
Well, Sunny and I have plans to do stuff together.
I got to tell you, funny you say that. You go, oh, he should use that. You know, when I heard your song, Beer Pressure, I thought to myself, who came up with that? How did I not think of that?
You probably thought of it.
I didn't. And I was mad at myself. I remember hearing that song going, how did I not get that?
I think about that with jokes and comedians and songs and all of us, but there's probably been 50 Beer Pressures written. I just, you know.
Pretty good.
Thank
That's
you.
One of my faves.
Thank you. And how also with songs, I was thinking about like, just if Paul ever writes a song, even if it's like fictional and he talks about this girl, I'm like, who's that girl? You know, like it's the same, but how with you and how much you make fun of your life or whatever and poke at your wife, like, and how she's just, that's your life. And that's totally cool. It's very similar.
Yes, but it was funny because, you know, we were doing our updating our will, updating life insurances, updating our trust. We have a trust. And, you know, we were talking to our financial advisor and he was like, well, Steve, I think, you know, we need to up your life insurance. And I said, and he thought I was joking. I go, no, we need to up my wife's. And he goes, ha ha. Like I was like, I'm going to kill her or something, you know?
Right.
And I go, no, I said, I want you to really think about it. And my wife thought I was crazy too. I go, I want you guys to think about it. If I pass, right, my wife can continue to work. My wife can get a job. My wife can take that money and invest or do whatever, mm-hmm. right? If she passes, I can't go on the road. And my comedy's completely gone.
Wow.
So if she passes, I'm completely out of work.
Right.
And I have kids.
So you will not be killing her.
Right.
Yes.
Because then I can't go on the road now.
Yeah.
I have kids at home. So I'm the one that needs the money.
Yeah.
Versus her. I mean, don't get me wrong. Of course she has, but I'm saying let's up hers to equal or be more than mine. Because if she goes, we have real problems.
That's so interesting.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. I've never thought about that. I mean, I do think a lot about, you know, whenever I'm out and if something was to happen where I meet somebody that says, you know, I got a COVID shot and my voice is gone. I did this and I hurt my voice and
scares you.
It's terrifying because I take it for granted every day that I can just go out and sing. And if something ever happened to me, my whole brand, my whole everything is gone. That's crazy. You are the only person that can do your job.
Yep.
And that's how I feel. People are, you know, why are you on the road so much? Why are you hitting the road so hard? It's like, I'm not going to always want to do that at this pace. And I'm the only person that can do it.
Right. 100%. And you know, the sad part is that people forget, you know, mm-hmm. I literally had a month gap in between social media changes. And in that month, my ticket sales plummeted for the tour.
What?
You know, because I wasn't constantly reminding them, hey, I'm here. Hey, remember me. Hey, I'm funny, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's scary. So you do have to stay out in the public and you do have to make people remind them like, hey, I'm here and don't forget. However, I think Cross-Canadian Ragweed taught us a huge lesson.
Yeah.
You know.
That was amazing.
Instead of going to Brewster Street four times a year, how about make Corpus miss you?
Right.
And come once a year and do 3,000 seats versus 1,000.
Yep.
You know,
that's kind of what we're doing. I was telling Kyle, I have, you know, I don't have any shows next weekend, but then I go for 3 weeks outside of Texas. And then my first two shows in Texas, as soon as I got back, had already sold out. It's because people are like, oh, well, you're getting too good for us now.
Well, but that's the scary part about your business, especially, you know, is that Texans are so Texan that as soon as you try to venture out and be mainstream or I'm sorry, I want a huge career, right?
Right. Right.
They go, oh, well, what, you're going to leave us Texans? And she's no longer Texan. And it's like, no, F you. Like, of course I'm Texan, but I want to represent us on a huge level, right? And you want, and I hope you're like me, but at the end of the day, what we do is to be enjoyed. What we do is hopefully impactful, hopefully changes people. And, you know, people ask me all the time, I go, God, Steve, why do you do it? And I go, because number one, it's very selfish, right? It's for me and my ego and my insecurities. I said, but the special moments are when somebody says, you got me through cancer.
Ah.
Or you saved my marriage. Or, you know, me and my wife, you saved our marriage. Those are the moments that I go, oh man, like this is bigger than just me.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. And it's awesome.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Or even, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is when you were talking about her buying the clear plastic containers and like putting stuff in it. But it's a real life thing that, you know, that was probably an argument with a bunch of people. And someone was probably like, you're stupid or I, you know, whatever. And Paul doesn't like them either. So it was just a way to make something that could have probably been a problem in every household, make it funny, make it relatable.
Dude, I always tell people like, that's so funny. My act is so petty. Like what I do on stage is all the petty arguments.
Yeah.
It's fucking petty.
Yeah.
But you laugh because we buy into the petty, right? Yeah. And you know, when the moment I had the aha moment in my stand-up, because you know, I was this pirate. I was on the road at, you know, from 20 to 27 before I met my wife, and I was, you know,
pirate.
I mean, I was out there trying to hook up and I'm drinking and I'm on the road and everybody else is going to college. Yeah. These are my college years, right? Being on stage, which is pretty freaking awesome. And then I met my wife and fell in love with her pretty much immediately. And then I was like, I hated her. Like I literally hated her for making me love her because I had to stop doing this awesome, fun pirate life. And I walk on stage because she had just moved in. By the way, didn't ask if she could move in. She just moved in.
As we do.
And she ruined my system. I have a toothpaste system, right? I roll the toothpaste up and I keep it nice and tidy and clean, right? Mm-hmm. And we only had one restroom. So I'd come in and she would always squeeze it in the middle. And I walked on stage and I go, what kind of savage squeezes the toothpaste from the middle? And the crowd erupted. And I was like, oh man, I'm onto something.
Yeah.
Right? These little things that annoy me annoy you too. Let's talk about it. And then that was kind of the birth of where I ended up doing stand-up. My voice, if you will. Right?
Interesting. Because with songs, it's so weird that when I think the song is totally about Paul and I and nobody else, that's everybody's favorite song.
So 100%.
When you're the most authentic to yourself, no matter what it is with art, it seems to be the universal truth, which is crazy. Oh, she doesn't. Well, she ever get mad at you?
No, she's awesome. She's a tough girl, and she's very confident. And she'll actually like, you know, help me.
Yeah,
right. She'll be like, "Hey, say this," and I'm like, "That's meaner, but it's funnier." You know, she had one issue one time, and she was, "Do it if you want." She goes, "But I'm telling you, it's disgusting." She goes, "It's disgusting."
Oh no!
And it was a joke about her giving birth. And I would say every few minutes, a random guy would come in and play with my wife. Right. But I would go,
oh yeah,
you know, and she was like, don't do that. It's freaking gross. You know, but she's like, do it if you want. She's like, but I'm just telling you it's gross. Right.
Yeah. She has a point,
but she's also my barometer. Right. Mm. Sometimes I get too macho because I'm a very macho guy. Sometimes I get a little chauvinistic. Because I grew up with a chauvinistic dad, right? Sometimes last special, And I'm by all means not homophobic at all. I was the best man at my gay cousin's wedding. And I by the way, I 100% support the gay community. But there was a joke where Renee goes, "You sound homophobic." And I'm glad she told me, because I don't ever want that
awesome
message out there.
Yeah.
Right. So she's definitely my litmus test as to, mm-hmm. hey, don't do this, don't do that. I did another joke where she was like, "You can do it if you want." She goes, "It's funny." She goes, "But it's a really crummy thing to say to about a woman."
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, okay, you're right." You know, after I stay, yeah. you know, so, you know, we're definitely a team mm-hmm. and a partnership.
And she's smart. I mean, she's a brilliant woman. You can tell. So.
Oh, she's one of the most amazing women in the world. I mean, that girl, she does everything. I mean, it's amazing what she does.
What can she not do?
You know, me sometimes.
Oh no, Renee, I love your house. Don't kick me out, please. But how, cause you had just brought up Ragweed and Corpus and Brewster Street. And since I've known of you and known you, you've been, you know, not that, I don't know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but when you had even less of a reach than you do now, you were supporting Texas music all the way up until your giant reach now, you're still supporting.
Well, I'm a fan. Like, you know, I always tell people the story, and I told Pat Green this, and he was like, "Dude, I remember that." You know, back in the day, there was no computers or cell phones or whatever. And this was like 99. I had just moved to Dallas. Pat Green was the thing yeah. back then. I mean, it was Pat Green, Corey Morrow. And back then, people would hand you a tape, ugh. Like that they recorded. And they'd be like, "Check this dude out." Like, he's, you know. So it was a thing. It was happening, right? Well, Texas OU weekend was coming. I was living in Dallas. And I saw that Pat Green and Corey Morrow were going to be at this bar. So I went to Kinko's and I made a fake backstage pass. Right? Like a lanyard.
Oh no.
I mean, I had the necklace, I had it all, right? So I get in. Like me and my buddy, I get in and I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I'm past the door. Like, I'm in."
Oh no.
You know, and then, you know, there was like a VIP section in the front. I mean, it's packed. I mean, it's like the height of Pat Green mania. And I'm like, "Hang in there." Yeah. So I take my little badge, you know, and nobody even questions me. I walk in and they're like, they're stopping people behind me. Right. And I'm like, "This freaking thing's working,"
oh,
you know?
No.
So then I'm like, "Dude, there's dudes on stage. I'm going to go stand on stage." So I stand on stage and I'm up there and I'm like, "Oh my God." I'm like, my buddy didn't have the balls to do it. Right. So he's looking at me like, "What?" And I'm like, "Dude," you're like, "I'm up here," you know? And Pat's singing and he looks at me and goes, "Wait." And then the security goes, he points at my badge, like, and he goes,
"Oh, no."
Security, like, literally, I'm 5'5", picks me up off the ground.
No.
And literally escorts me out. And my favorite part about all of it, he goes, "That was good." He goes, "That was good."
That's amazing.
And he took my badge away and left. But I was already a fan. And, you know, being from Corpus Christi, Roger Craiger, being the Tolosa Midway guy, I knew that. And you know, I always told my wife, we want to represent the Mexican-American culture in a positive way. We want to show, this is her. She knows we're podcasting.
No, it's fine. No, you can answer.
She knows.
It. You can take it. We'll edit it out. We'll leave it
she,
in.
Uh-oh, it didn't answer. Are you there?
Hey, can you hear me? I'm sorry. I'm about to get out of the we're a little early, so I went through the car wash.
Okay, you know you're on speaker on a podcast, so.
Oh, no, then never mind. We were going to talk medical information, so I thought you weren't on until 3. Sorry.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Love you.
And I told my wife, I said, how do we represent our culture, number one, without making fun of it, right? I felt like other comedians before me spent a lot of time making fun of the Mexican-American.
Interesting.
I thought they were belittling. And there's so many Mexican-Americans like me and my wife who are very hardworking, who are not ghetto, who are not from the streets, who didn't grow up on welfare, who have hardworking parents. I said, okay, how do I represent that? And I remember, you know, Roger doing Rancho Grande and me going, that's me. I wear cowboy boots.
Yeah.
I have a cowboy hat. You know, I grew up riding horses. I grew up hunting and fishing, and that guy's me. So I had him come on and do Rancho Grande for us, but it all came from just me being a fan.
Yeah.
And then what I fell in love with was the family. Once you met one, you met another one. And once you met another one, you met another. And the more I become friends with this group, the more I see the genuine attitude, the absolutely, the you got it. Oh, your charity, I'll help you. Help me with mine, I'll help you with, you know. And I just didn't have that in LA, in Hollywood. You know, it was all the relationships I had in Hollywood and LA were fake. All the comedians were friends with you because either you could get them an opening gig or you could introduce them to somebody. None of it was genuine, right? And this group's just genuine. And everybody's, it's a thing, you know? And the more I got to know people, and I mean, one of the reasons Renee and I moved here is because Randy was a friend. And Randy was like, dude, I'll be your friend. I'm like, we're not any friends in your brothels. You know, and he's like, well, call me.
Randy likes to do lunch.
Well, lunch turns into
ladies
all
lunch
day
with wine. He's, yeah. Randy's, I never knew he was a lunch guy.
No, he loves to do his lunch.
It's very cute.
But yeah, so it just came from being a fan.
Yeah.
You know, and also I'm very proud of the music that comes out of here. I'm proud of yourself and the genuine attitude that it carries. You know, when they sit there and they look at Cody Johnson, who I couldn't be prouder of, representing us.
Totally.
You know, you go, guy, so genuine. I'm like, but there's a lot of those, right? There's a lot of them. You just haven't found them, right? But I also think that there is this big fear in Texas because, you know, and again, going back to the Pat Green days, Pat Green gets this huge deal in Nashville and Nashville goes, oh, we got ourselves a freaking bona fide star. Well, his fan base turned their back on him because he went Nashville. You know, a friend of mine works for Warner Music, Nashville. And he told me, he goes, we will not sign a Texas artist. He goes, all the labels stay away. He's like, we're looking for Georgia. We're looking for Florida. We're, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, we want Idaho. You know, I go, why not Texas? And he goes, because the damn Texas fan, which is weird to me because you would think we'd be so supportive.
Yeah. I think Cody and Parker are maybe turning the tide on that a little bit.
I think so too. I agree.
But I think
agree.
Like Pat did it and it was like, no. But then waited. Randy kind of went to Nashville with like at least publishing deals and some record stuff. And it didn't necessarily work like it did with Parker and Cody, but it kind of breached the...
It started to kick the door open
I
a little.
So.
You know, of course, Miranda shows up and,
yeah,
you know, she did get out and do her thing and Cody as well. And I think both of them have really shown that what we're doing here in Texas is still singer-songwriter and more about the song and the human part of it and the steel guitar and the fiddle. I mean, gosh, you know, I don't know what song, I don't care what song, it needs a fiddle.
Right.
It could be rap. Put a fiddle in it.
Yeah. You are a Texan. Yeah. Well, before time runs out, because we're almost done, I just wanted
to... Oh, there's a time limit to a podcast? The hell's going on?
Well, you got to go to freaking Canada, dude. And you have some medical information.
From my wife.
What if you're dying of cancer and you're like, hold on.
Hold on.
I can't take this call right now.
Steve, you have testicular cancer. Shit.
Podcast with Brie Bagwell. This can wait. But you opened a recording studio right here in Green where we live in New Braunfels.
Total accident.
But also, like, you know, music's the dumbest investment you could ever make
ever,
in your whole life.
Ever.
Just
it's set already,
your money on fire.
It's already setting my money on fire. I mean, the good news is that there's other stuff going on over there that help, but...
Well, you own it. That's the first part. You're not... You
know. I called my wife and I go, I think we're in the music business. She's like, what did you do? And I go, well, I kind of walked into the studio and I bought it. And she was like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? You know, but it's been fun. I love... You know, I always tell people I got to meet so many great artists. You know, I spent most of my 14 years in LA. I would probably say 300 nights out of the year I spent at the Comedy Store.
Oh my gosh.
You know, getting my name on, I got my name on the wall. But all these music, I got to meet Anthony Kiedis. I got to meet, you know, Chavo from System of a Down is a friend of mine. Dr. Dre, Anthony Kiedis. I don't know if I mentioned him. I mean, all the, and celebrities and all these people would come in and they would be in awe of comics.
Yeah.
But us comics are in awe of you guys, right? Because if you handed me a guitar and said, hey, sing, I'd be like, I don't even know where to begin. I can't sing. I don't know how, but I watch you do it. And I
prove
go,
it. No,
but even writing a song, right? I go, man, I got these ideas for songs, but I don't even know the beginning of how to. So I think we admire you guys as much as you admire us, you know? I think that's why the Comedy Store was so, I mean, you know, Quentin Tarantino would be hanging out and Dr. Dre would be over there and Chavo from System of a Down's over there. Wow. And I mean, it was insane. You know, the love that artists have for each other, you know, which again, and you know this, you go to a party and if there's another artist there, the two artists are like hanging out, right? Because there's just something, you know, and that was the hardest transition for me in this town. I desperately want to be just a dude and just a dad.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get along with people that aren't in the industry. So I found myself in this town becoming closer to people like Wade Bowen, John Michael.
Yeah.
People in the business, because they just understood my life and they understand that it's not all glamorous and that I don't only work one hour a night. You know, I get those comments. Oh, must be nice, dude.
Yeah.
Go tell dick jokes for 2 days and live like this. And it's like, no, man, I hustle and I work and it's a grind.
We have and the whole left side of my face is broken out for this podcast. We have this thing called music. We call it music couples therapy, but we do it once a month. And it's you know, Josh Greider, Drew Kennedy, John Chops from Randy Rogers, you know, just Bart Crow sometimes, just people that. And it's very funny because we started that for this exact reason, because you don't have to explain, hey, you know, or you just sit on a stool and drink free beer for a living.
Yeah.
And you never have to say, I know this is going to sound diva, but you can just say, I had this private party on Saturday and no one was paying attention and I was pissed because, you know, whatever. And then,
because then they don't go, oh, well, but how much they pay you?
$10,000, you know, exactly. And it's like friendships without, you know, some sort of apology before having to say everything.
Well, and that's what, you know, Renee and I talk about is, and especially for her to be around spouses of touring guys, right? Because then they have a common thread and they understand each other. And, you know, when people look at my wife and they say, oh my gosh, you live in this house and you drive that car and you have these things. And my wife's like, it comes with a price, you know, and a big price. And again,
but yes, I have this stuff. Yeah.
But again, she doesn't have to apologize. She doesn't have to go, oh, hey, I bought this Louis Vuitton. I had to take it back. You know, she doesn't have to go, I know it's going to sound like I'm an asshole, but you know, but at the same time, Renee and I, you know, this studio that we're in, add half of this studio, and that's the apartment that Renee and I lived in LA.
Yeah.
We had nothing together, and we did it together, and we grew this together, and we sacrificed together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Her they have money, her parents. Her dad would send us so many checks in the mail, and I would, every year for Christmas, I'd bring him that stack of checks back.
Stop.
And I would say, sir, she lives with me. She is my responsibility, and we will do it together and on our own. And I'd bring those checks back every single year. And he would go, Steve, man, that's a gift. I said, no, sir. A Starbucks gift card is a gift. $3,000 is charity. Take it back. And I would give it back to him because I knew one day that we would make it. And I did know that one day I want to be able to say we did it on our own.
You did make it. And you do it by being very authentically you, incredibly hilarious, and now just trying to spread the love for us musicians. And we so appreciate it. And I know you're going to freaking Canada tomorrow. So thanks for talking with me. Go to stevetrevino.com.
Familia way.
Uh-huh. And I just so appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you.
I'm taking this trophy.
You can take that one. Okay. Well, what do you want from back here?
Ooh.
You can't take my military coins, but I'll grab that picture right there because you can reach it before I do, I think.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
Oh, my gosh. That's my favorite.
Look, isn't that hilarious?
What you do to this picture? There's stuff.
I know. Who knows what's on there? I think my wife. So, you know.
That is awesome.
Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond. Big part of my career. My son is actually named after him.
He did something for your. He
gave us money. Yeah.
Yes.
For when Garrett was born.
I saw that on
but
something.
But because he's 7 foot and I'm 5'5", he goes, you know, me and him would get on stage together and joke. He would be the host. I would close the show. And then me and him would spend 15 minutes together, either roasting each other or entertaining the audience, taking questions. And one of the things I did to roast him, I said, you know, if you were Terry Fader and you had a puppet, you'd probably be in a bigger room. And he goes, well, you're my puppet. And I sat on his lap.
And you did
it. And that was me being his ventriloquist puppet. Yeah.
Is there a video of that?
There's got to be somewhere.
I would love to see that. That's hilarious.
But, you know, and I don't know about you, but I had so many mentors and I still have continue to have mentors. Brad was a big one. You know, Brad is the nicest person you'll ever meet. The sweetest and the kindest, and with his time, with his energy, with his, when he's out, I said, Brad, how do you do it? And he goes, Steve, we chose this. He goes, so the minute you leave your home, it is showtime. He goes, period in the story. It is showtime. He goes, everybody you meet should have a wonderful experience meeting you. And I've taken that to heart. So he did teach me that, and I watched him do it, and he's a much bigger star than me, right? He's on 7 days a week, probably five times a day. I mean, he's a huge star, and I watched him give all that energy to the fans when we would walk the casino floor, when he would hang out, when he would get, you know, me and him would be eating lunch, and somebody would freak the F out because he was sitting there, and he would give them their time. And he goes, that is our job. We are entertainers. The second we leave our home, it is no longer safe. It is performance time.
I love that.
So, yep.
And someone said, well, you do it. They do it now because, oh, that was on the Del Brisby episode, because someday someone's not going to want a picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I look at them as my employer.
Yeah.
Okay. They are literally my employer. I get 80 to 85% of the door, sometimes 90, and they literally pay my bills. Quite literally.
Is that how you do door deals with tickets mostly?
Yep.
Really?
Only, yeah.
No way. Like exclusively?
Exclusively. And I even did it when I wasn't selling tickets because there was a threshold where I was moving to bigger guarantees versus the door.
Yeah.
And sometimes the door wouldn't make and I would give money back. And my managers and agents would be like, why are you giving money back? And I would go, they didn't make that. They lost money.
I've never heard of that happening, really.
You know, so I would give money back. And then my manager and agent goes, well, we're tired of you giving them their money back. You're going to have to take it. I said, no. Instead, screw the guarantee. Put me on a straight door deal. And I'll make what I make and what I earn. And I just feel better about my life.
That's, you know, beautiful.
I just feel better.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fair because if I don't, I mean, we were in... several years ago when Kansas City was in the 3 or 4 years ago, the like Mahomes year one, they're running for the playoffs and I have a Sunday show in Kansas City. And I had like a $35,000 guarantee. There was 9 people in the room and the poor promoter. I mean, I felt his
stress
and I said, dude, pay my expenses so that I'm not out of pocket and we're good.
Aww.
And he hugged me and freaked out. Right. And I said, but you're going to book me again? And he goes, absolutely. Still books me to this day, you know? And now I get a door deal with him and I make my money. But neither one of us knew that the damn Kansas City Chiefs were going to make a run for the Super Bowl back then.
Yeah.
And it just so happened to be on a playoff. It wasn't even a day game. It was, my show was at 7. Their game was at 7.
Yeah.
They 9 people.
The Astros.
Which, by the way, 2 gay boys in the audience. I ended up partying with them.
That was fun.
Yeah. And they're still my friends. They still come to my show. Every time I come to Kansas, they show up. We share pictures. They adopted kids. And they're still my friends.
Yeah.
But again, what a blessing to come out of that. I have these friends in Kansas City. And I want to get paid what I earn and what I deserve. Because there was another time when they were lying about my numbers. You know, where they would say, oh, you get a bonus at $250. And they'd be like, oh, Steve, $245, buddy.
Which always drives me insane.
And I'm like, dickhead, I would have bought the 5 tickets.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, with 5. I can do math.
But yeah, but you know, there was a time too when they were screwing me where I'd be like, you're lying about the numbers. I know you're lying about the numbers. Because I worked at a comedy club and we lied about the numbers. And I watched them lie about the numbers. So I know you're lying about the numbers. So I just want to live a life where I get what I deserve.
Yeah, what is fair?
Right. I just want fair.
Beautiful.
I don't want too much. I don't want too little. I want fair.
But do you pay the opening comedian? How does that?
There's, you know, we do theaters. So there is a budget in there for opening act.
And you choose them usually?
Yeah, I get to pick them. And that comes out of expenses.
Ooh, is that hard? Are all your friends like sometimes you have musician friends that are like, can I open a show? And you're like, ooh, they're not very good, but they're sure cute. I bet you have
I feel terrible because, I mean, my phone, and I don't know how old you are, and I'll never say how old you are, but
I don't care.
I'm of a different generation of show up, hang out. Mm-hmm. How about come to my green room, introduce yourself? Because I'll let you in my green room. If you're a comic, I'll probably let you in my green room. We'll probably have a great conversation.
Yeah.
Next time I come, I'll probably let you on stage. But I get these Instagram. Hey, dude, I'm a comic. I live in that town. Or, can I? And I'm like, you're already asking for shit? We don't even know each other. Yeah. Like, how about, I would sit in a green room quiet, and I'd be there. I can't believe I'm here. And there's Chappelle over there. And there's Bill Burr over there. And I wouldn't, but these kids now are like, hey, man, can I open?
I know.
I should be on stage. And I'm like, God, you're bold.
There was a guy, we were eating dinner the other night, and he was playing, it was a loud bar, already loud, already music, already people. And he was playing, he had his phone up and he was playing his new song in my ear, but like, it was so loud. It was like hurting my brain.
Like, this is not a good experience for me or you.
And now I hate you for the rest of my life. Like, it was probably the worst experience. Like, I don't blacklist anybody, but I think I shot my agent an email and was like, oh, this person is now, never allowed to open for me.
Do you know Russell Peters? Do you know who that is?
No.
Russell Peters is the biggest comedian in the world.
Oh, sorry.
That nobody's ever heard of.
Oh.
It's the weirdest thing.
Like a great, like a songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russell Peters, like 10 years in a row, made $80 million selling tickets. Just to be clear. Okay. And Russell's a friend of mine. I made the mistake of, I opened for Russell in a huge theater show in Sacramento. 2 weeks later, I'm playing the club. So I text him and I go, do you think you could do a, like a tweet or, to let people know?
Yeah.
My phone rings immediately. Like as soon as I sent the message. And he goes, Stevie, I love you. He goes, but just remember, I'm still trying to make it. And I'm still trying to sell tickets. And I'm still trying to get my career going.
Yeah.
He goes, if I put out a tweet for every up and coming comedian that I like or is my friend, it'll never end.
That's so crazy.
He goes, so don't be that guy. And I was like, note taken. Now I'm in that position and I'm like, don't be that guy.
Or like, people, I had a woman mad that I didn't share her charity event on my Facebook page. And she's like, I thought we were friends and this whole thing. And that I'm starting to get more used to it. But it's only been a few years.
That's why I started my own charity.
Oh, that's smart.
I started my own charity because they go, hey, I need 100 here. I need a donation. I go, all my focus goes to my charity. I raise over $1 million a year for veterans through my charity. All my efforts go through there. You want some tickets to a show?
Right.
You
could, give a raffle.
Raffle, thing. T-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm on it, but I'm not going to share your charity.
My assistant's on it.
Yeah, my assistant's on it.
He is on it.
Timmy,
thank you. And thank you. I know you're busy and I don't want to
overstep. No, I got time. We got a few minutes. I want to show you the house. I want to show you the
house. Okay, well then let's go look at the house. No offense, podcasters, but I'm going to go take a tour. It is awesome.
Casa Trevino.
And literally, Steve is going to like every state. I was scrolling down your tour dates. So wherever you listen, please come out. And you got to get the Texas one super early because they sell out quick.
I laugh with my Texas country friends. They're like, Stevie, just come home. And I'm like, I don't just tour Texas, guy. I'm all over the freaking country and the world.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I would love to make the money you guys make just in Texas. That'd be awesome.
Or when you do Texas, it's on Netflix as a special.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's like, yeah.
But we do well in Texas and God bless this state. And so good to be home. And I think we picked the right town. And
you definitely picked. And if you want to be friends, if Renee wants to be better friends with me, I won't.
We
ask
need to
her,
be.
I won't ask her
she
about
was,
her.
She was bummed that you were she got to miss you. She was really wanting to meet you, and she's a fan, and we're fans. And I made her a fan. She was not a Texas country fan, but I drilled it into her head on every road trip, and every deal we did. Garrett, is Garrett over there? Garrett knows every Texas country song.
Aww.
That kid loves to sing.
He is so polite too.
He's a very good kid.
He's a.
Yep.
Who's your favorite Texas country singer?
That's hard. I like George Strait and Luke Combs.
Oh, great.
But that's not Texas country.
No, but that's still, that's but, a good
but
answer.
But George Strait's good.
And Luke Combs is great.
Cody Johnson, Randy Rogers, Wade, who?
Probably Cody Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Cody. Can't beat Cody.
It's also kind of annoying because Garrett knows them all.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's just Randy. Yeah. Mr. Randy.
And then now I'm your new favorite now that we met in person. I don't think I have any like little boy friendly songs.
He sings such a good, he sings Bart Crow's.
Wear My Ring?
No, not Wear My Ring. Well, he can sing that one too. He knows all of them.
I love Bart Crow.
Casey Donahue lately, he's been listening to a lot.
Cool.
But he's quite the little connoisseur of it. He loves it.
Well, we're lucky to have such good support of our genre. Gonna carry it on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Let's go. All right, get out of here.
Show me your house.